This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. ربي شرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. إن شاء الله, with our internet problems solved, now I can go back to doing daily lives in the morning before I head out to work, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants me istiqama. I ask Allah that He grants me ability to do these regularly, inshallah. So we finished, I don't know if you watched, but you know, just day before yesterday, we did a session on what was Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's breakfast. And alhamdulillah, after we finished that video, if you didn't watch it, you should go watch it, because I talk about it in extensive, and we actually did a demo too. So we made the breakfast and different types of breakfast that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would have had breakfast and then he would come back to the masjid. As soon as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would enter the masjid, at that particular point, Rasulullah would enter the masjid, then he would pray. Now, obviously, as Rasulullah is entering the masjid, he is going to pray Tahiyyatul Masjid. Tahiyyatul Masjid is basically you greeting the masjid. So it's like, it's your way of letting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know, and it's our way of venerating, and it's our way of letting people know that, you know, this is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but letting yourself know that you have entered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sacred house. And for you, you are going to try your best. You're going to try your best to respect this place. And in a form of respect for that, when we enter the masjid, we start off with Tahiyyatul Masjid, which is two rak'ahs that you pray. Now, Tahiyyatul Masjid can be prayed any time. There's no specific time for us to be able to pray Tahiyyatul Masjid. Every single time you enter the masjid, you can pray Tahiyyatul Masjid. The only condition is that when you enter the masjid, you have to pray Tahiyyatul Masjid right away. You cannot be talking to people. You cannot be, hey, how you doing? Assalamu alaikum, how's life? And all of that. And then you go about it. As soon as you enter, you start with Tahiyyatul Masjid. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would sit by the pillar of Aisha radiallahu anha. So there was an ustuwana, there were pillars. Now, if you are not aware of it, in Masjid al-Nabawi, there are so many spaces where Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's so many pillars, and behind every pillar there is a story. I wanted to show you a few here. One second, let me just do this quickly. In StreamYard, share screen. Yes. I would like to share a screen. Thank you. I would like to share the Chrome tab. Here we go. Okay. So I hope you guys can see this now. So if you see over here, there are the pillars over here. I'm not sure if you're able to see that, but the pillars that are over here, these are the pillars. So you have Ustawanatul Wufud. This was the pillar that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would generally host delegations. This is called Ustawana, basically means pillar. This is the pillar of Haras. This is the pillar of, you know, guards, people who protect. This is Ustawanat As-Sarir, Ustawanat At-Tawba, and this is Ustawanat Aisha. This also is called Ustawanat Al-Muhajirin. So this is where he would, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was the pillar where he would sit. Now, for those of you that have seen Masjid al-Nabawi, this is currently, like, we walk out, this is the Qibla. So you have all, you know, the mihrab of Tahajjud, where Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pray. They have mihrab of Fatima. This is where, this whole thing was the hujra of Aisha radiallahu anha, where all of them are today. You have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Abu Bakr, then Umar radiallahu anhu, they're all buried. So this was Ustawanat Aisha. Now, for Ustawanat Aisha, if you were to go, you can actually see something better. Let me show you this. How do I switch? Okay, remove. Stop sharing. Start sharing. Let me share another screen with you. I've actually done a video for that, so you guys can actually see this. Okay, so when you go into the masjid, you can actually see this. One second. So you see the pillars that are here, and on top of the pillars, you will see the name of the pillar. So for example, if you ever go to Masjid al-Nabawi, right there. So over here, it says Ustuwanat Aisha radiallahu an. Right? So this is Ustuwanat Aisha radiallahu an. This also used to be called Ustuwanat al-Muhajirin, the pillar of Muhajirin, or the pillar of the people who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would, all the Muhajirin would gather over there. So what's the purpose of me telling you all of this? The purpose is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would enter the masjid, he would come and he would pray two rak'ahs nafil. And then when he would be finished with doing tahiyyatul masjid, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go back and he would lean back to the pillar of Aisha radiallahu anha. Now, the pillar of Aisha radiallahu anha has significance, and that's why I titled The Secret Behind Aisha radiallahu anha's narrations, is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and majority of his gatherings, this is the end exit for Rasulullah Aisha radiallahu anha's house. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would sit on Aisha radiallahu anha on the left side of the door. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she would be on the other side of the wall, listening to all the conversations that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is having. Those conversations is the reason why Aisha radiallahu anha has narrated so many narrations. So after Abu Huraira radiallahu anha, the next one is Aisha radiallahu anha. And the reason for that is all of the day-to-day average conversations of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, none of the conversations of Rasulullah were average. But what I mean by the word average is that his daily, conversations that he had, those conversations, Aisha radiallahu anha, she heard them. And since she heard them, she was able to narrate so many of the narrations related to that. So if somebody would ask her a question, she would be like, oh, I remember I was once sitting on the other side of the wall and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this. And that was the reason why she was able to narrate so many of this. Now, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sit in that majlis, so you can imagine this was the main primary gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would sit either on the left side or the right side, or they would sit in a halaqa. We've described this before. They would sit in a circular motion. So they would sit in like a circle, or they would sit in two semicircles that would split from the middle. So if you think of this, like complete in your mind, a circle, a semicircle here and a semicircle here. So these are two semicircles. There's an imaginary semicircle here. And then you split it open. When you split it open, this is where Rasulullah is sitting. And anybody that is entering the masjid, they are able to come straight to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is how the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sit. Right. Another thing was that they would take turns. So this is very important that the Sahabas, they would take turns throughout. They would take turns and they were very, very careful not to miss out on that information. So they would take turns making sure that, you know, if I am going to be busy in work, then I send my neighbor or I send somebody, a delegate who is present in that gathering of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who can come back and tell me what happened, who can come back and inform to me if there was a new ayah that was revealed, who can come back and tell me a new regulation or something like that. So they were not left in the dark when it came to their education. They always had access to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's information or whatever he talked about. غالباً يأخذ حديث, majority of the time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would, most of the time, he was not from the the orators who would just, you know, stand up and give like long speeches, or he would just like, you know, give like, that was not the style of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, his style was very different. It was that he would use all of the modern day teaching techniques that we have today. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would deploy all of those modern techniques, like subhanAllah, if you think about it. So at times Rasulullah would begin the majlis and he would have a sahabi and he would ask a question. For example, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sitting there and he asked a question. He said, "Ala unabbi'ukum bi akbar al-kaba'ir." Shall I not tell you of the greatest of the major sins? So obviously the Sahaba and everyone that were sitting around, he said, "Bala ya Rasulullah, tell us." Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, "Al-ishraku billah," doing shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "wa'uquq al-walidain," and being disobedient to your parents, وَشَهَادَةُ الزُّورِ وَشَهَادَةُ الزُّورِ وَشَهَادَةُ الزُّورِ وَشَهَادَةُ الزُّورِ وَشَهَادَةُ الزُّورِ وَشَهَادَةُ الزُّورِ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated the fact of, you know, the main point he wanted to get across, which was a false testimony. He said, وَشَهَادَةُ الزُّورِ, a false testimony, a false testimony, a false testimony, a false witness statement, a false witness statement, a false witness statement, a false witness statement. So many times that the Sahabas, they wished that Rasulullah would stop talking. So two techniques that he would use. Number one, passing on the information through questions. An instruction that can be given via question should never be given through a command. So if you can instruct somebody to do something via a question, that is more powerful because you engage that other person's intellect in coming to that conclusion rather than you giving a command. So many times as parents, we make that mistake, right? Rather, do it this way. Rather than saying that, we can say, "Is there a better way we can do this?" And you allow that person to use his intellect and figure out a better way. Both ways, you get the same consequence or same result. Do it this way. It's better. The person will do it. But the next time, if you were to tell your child or tell your parents or, sorry, tell your friend, your relative, your husband, your wife, why are you doing, like, instead of why are you doing this or questioning their intent, we can just simply say, "Is there a better way we can do this?" And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would use questioning as a main form of informing. And then number two we see over here is repetition. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he repeated his statement, "Ala wa shahadat al-zur, wa shahadat al-zur, wa shahadat al-zur, wa shahadat al-zur, wa shahadat al-zur." And that repetition led to Sahaba radiallahu anhu remembering every single moment of that particular interaction with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ah, that is amazing coffee. Oh, by the way, so come Feb, I'm going to be off coffee. That's going to be very exciting and also boring at the same time. I start reducing, well, not really off coffee, but I'll start reducing the intake of my coffee. Anyhow, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he was sitting there, and sometimes he would ask a question, and the purpose of asking that question is he wants to correct a particular concept, or he wants to, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants to reframe a particular concept in the minds of the Sahaba. So once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sitting, and then he says, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asks a question, and he says, "Mani al-muflis?" Who is a poor person? So the person responds back, the Sahabas, they respond back, "Ya Rasulullah, al-muflisu fina man la dirhama lahu wa la mata'." A muflis, a poor person amongst us, is a person who does not have any dirham, he does not have any money, wala mata'un, he does not have any essentials for his life, things that he can benefit with and things that he can enjoy, you know, things of enjoyment, he doesn't have that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, la. He says, la, la, la. فَقَالَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, إِنَّ الْمُفْلِسَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي The muflis, a poor person from my ummah, يَأْتِي يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ He is going to come on the day of judgment, بِصَلَاةٍ He is going to have salah, بِصِيَامٍ He is going to have abundance of siyam and fasting, وَزَكَاتٍ He would have given a lot of sadaqah, a lot of charity, a lot of zakat, ويأتي and he's going to come in a state وقد شتم هذا he falsely accused that person وقذف هذا he spoke again you know he dishonored that person by you know putting an accusation of false sexual relationships on that وأكل ماذا مال هذا and he ate the money of that particular person he did not give that person's حق back وسفك دم هذا and he spilled the blood of that particular person وضرب هذا and he hit this person فيعطي هذا من حسناته وهذا من حسناته so each one that he has transgressed against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take his hasanat and increase the equal of his infliction on them their hasanat so your hasanat will be gone and given to those people and their ranks rise then think about this what's next فَإِنْ فَنِيَتْ حَسَنَاتُهُ you've got nothing left فَإِنْ فَنِيَتْ حَسَنَاتُهُ you've got nothing left you're left with an empty cup nothing is inside all of your hasanat are all gone what happens next is even dangerous then the person you know then the hadith it carries on it says قبل أن يقضى ما عليه so all of his hasanat are gone he still has a lot of debt to that he owes other people أخذ من خطاياهم so their bad deeds start piling up in your category of good deeds their bad deeds are taken because we need to give them net positive we need to increase their hasanat so I've got no hasanat left how do I give those people more hasanat I end up taking their bad deeds subhanallah and then the person says ukhidha min khatayahum wa turihat alay thumma and then turiha fi an-nar that person is going to be thrown in hellfire May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to, you know, fix our internal matters. Because at the end of the day, you could come with salah, you can come with siyam, you can come with all of the good deeds. But if we end up causing harm to the khalq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I ask Allah that, you know, every single one of us, including myself, we are in desperate need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help in this matter, because neither you nor me alone, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, you and I don't have any power to be able to fix ourselves in this matter. It's going to be definitely a struggle. For some people, it's going to be a bigger struggle. For others, it's going to be a lesser of a struggle. But at the end of the day, it is going to be some form of a struggle. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives you and me the tawfiq that we're able to fix our sarair, we're able to fix our things that are secret, the things and the actions that we do that harm other people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the ability in this dunya to be able to clear our accounts so that when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, there is no accountability that I have or you have or any one of us has. At the end of the day, we're able to enter Jannah and Allah forgives us and all those people that whom we have hurt and all the people that whom we have taken away from, their honor if we've hurt them in any way, that Allah protects us, inshallah, from harming those individuals and gives us the tawfiq as well as the courage that we can go and seek refuge from them and ask them that, you know, may Allah forgive us and forgive them and we can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a clear heart, inshallah. Please do spread the word. I will be going live now regularly, inshallah. I think the issue of our internet seems to have been resolved. which is a really good thing, alhamdulillah. So with that, I just wanted to really, really genuinely thank everybody that has been watching these. Plus, do spread the word, because if there is khair that you benefit from, then it is not fair that you don't just share it with other people. In the end, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts all of these little efforts of ours. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.